take a look in Parashat Shmot. We have the very famous scene of the Sneh Boer Ba'esh, the burning bush, Vasneh Nenu Kal, and the bush is not consumed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets to Moshe Rabbeinu the mission statement to redeem Klal Yisrael from Egypt. And there's a whole back and forth that goes on over a period of time. At the beginning of the fourth chapter, Pasuk tells us Moshe responded and said, "But they will not believe me, and they will not heed my voice, for they will say, Hashem did not appear to you." Hashem said to him, What is that in your hand? And he said, "A staff." He said, "Cast it on the ground," and he cast it on the ground, and it became a snake. Moshe fled from it. Hashem said to Moshe, "Stretch out your hand and grasp its tail." He stretched out his hand and grasped it tightly, and became a staff in his palm. So that they shall believe that Hashem, the God of the forefathers, appear to you, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. Hashem said further to him, "Bring your hand to your bosom." And he brought his hand to the bosom, and he withdrew it, and behold, his hand was leprous like snow. He said, "Return your hand to your bosom," and returned his hand to his bosom. Then he removed it from his bosom, and behold, it reverted to be like his flesh. It shall be that if they do not believe you, and they do not heed the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And if it shall be they do not believe even these two signs, and do not heed your voice, then you shall take from the water of the river and pour it out on the dry land, and the water that you shall take from the river will become blood when it's on the dry land. We know that the way a lot of the Mefarshim understand this is brought in Source 1b, is that the first two signs were not just signs for Klal Yisrael, they were signs for Moshe Rabbeinu themselves, and they were, in a sense, a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vahim lo yaminu li." They're not going to believe me. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu responds, "I'm speaking Lashon Hara. You're choshev b'ksheirim. You're accusing them falsely." And therefore, the snake being Lashon Hara, the leprosy also being a sign of Lashon Hara, was a direct punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu for speaking this way to about Klal Yisrael. Having said that, that's not the approach that we're going to look at today. Try to understand as our most global question, anything that's found in the Chumash is here for us today. Everything is Ludoros, for all generations. In what way do these three signs, to prove that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu, in what way are they very relevant for our lives? In what way do they set a directive for the way we approach our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's our overall question. When we get into two specific questions that we'll deal with, the first, Nos Desher of Shneor, points out in source number 2, and Rashi, again, is sensitive to this, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Mazeh b'yadecha, the Mazeh is not written as two words, Mem He, Zayin He, it's written Mem Zayin He. But the hay is dropped out. So Rashi teaches Mizeh Shebiyadecha, right? If you don't have the hay, it sounds like Mizeh. From that which is in your hand, you deserve to be punished, and that is from the staff turning into a serpent. The more basic question is, L'shem ma Hashem shoel oto Mazeh Biyadecha? Lo nuchal lomar shezeh kedei likanes di moment arim kemo shavu chazal b'mkrim domim shereka sicha kvar ita b'itzuma. A much broader question is to step back and even ask, why is Hashem asking what's in his hand? Like, doesn't he know it's a staff in his hand? So you may say, well, it's to engage him in conversation. You know, like, Ehevel Achicha, where's Hevel your brother? Engaging him in conversation. We can't say that because they've been conversing back and forth for the whole end of Perek Gimel. So the question of Mazeh b'yadecha, what is in your hand, is a very strange question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking. So the fact that Hashem even asked this question, we have to understand a little bit, what is the question itself? What lesson do we learn? And finally, the other question that we have to understand is, according to Moshe Rabbeinu's level, his doubt was seen as a lack of faith. What was the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu's lack of faith in the people? Why did he think that he would not heed his words? Aren't B'nai Yisrael ma'minim, B'nai ma'minim? Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'heim lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me? What was it that Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that they weren't going to believe They weren't going to believe him. And again, we have to understand, what are the dynamics of these three Otot, these three signs? And again, there's a lot of Torah here. We're going to take two approaches to try to get a sense of what's the significance, the symbolism of the staff turning into the serpent, the hand into leprosy, and the water into blood. And again, our focus is going to be the staff into the serpent. I'd like to try to take a look at this on two levels. We'll begin level number one with Rav Zaks Menachem Sio. And he says, Moshe ma'an lekabel alav tashlichut leparo b'choshvo, ki b'nei Yisrael nishtarshu amok ma'or b'galut. He really felt that Klal Yisrael was immersed in galus. And here we're talking about the outer galus, right? The second level is going to be the inner level of galus. And he felt, Ve'inam uksharim la'misalem et achrayut adola krucha b'chayim atzmaim beruch nivz b'gashmer. Klal Yisrael are so comfortable in galus, are so entrenched in galus, that they're not going to be able to take on Kabbalah Satorah. They're not going to be able to take on freedom. It's not going to happen. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Mazeh biyadecha vayomer mateh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this mateh, this staff, is a symbol of Klal Yisrael. This staff that you're holding in your hand is a symbolism of Klal Yisrael, that they are people who are ma'aminim, people who are believers. However, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to be able to encourage this belief. You have to be able to draw out the pintle yid in them, that they are different from the nations around them, that they are not, you know, the salad bowl or the melting pot imagery. They're not like everyone around them. You have to be able to underscore to them their uniqueness and their specialness. Because if you don't do that, if you let go, ki kashir tija'esh v'terapeh yadcha mehem, if you don't believe in them, and you just allow them to continue along this mindset, they're like everybody else, so then, and you let go, tashlichem artza v'tafkideim, tafkireim, and you make them hefker, az yitavu v'tafku l'nechashim, then they're going to become into snakes, and they're going to lose their uniqueness, and they're going to lose their specialness. Moshe Rabbeinu is being told here, hold on at all costs to this staff. The staff represents Klal Yisrael, represents that Klal Yisrael are different than everyone else. What was the challenge here? What was Moshe Rabbeinu concerned about? Moshe Rabbeinu understood, and this is what the first oath, as well as the third oath, first and third sign come to teach us, is that both of them, Moshe Rabbeinu understood, and we see this from the Makkah of Choshech, that Klal Yisrael really felt, albeit they were slaves, they felt that this was their homeland. Chelek mesuyam min ha'am haya chay ba'ashlag, shav ki mitzrayim hi eretz moledet shalahem, ve'ilem lezuz mimenu. Okay, things are a little bit difficult, but you know what? A new regime is going to come one day, and things will change. They really believe that, you know, they're a citizen of this land, and, you know, because they're a citizen, they're going to be protected. And this echoes, right? We say this is eternal, whatever we're learning. This echoes throughout generations. I'm a fine German. I fought in World War I. I have all these medals. I don't have to worry. It's this mentality that I am part of the galus. I serve, right? I contribute to whatever, fill in the blank, whatever country it is. And even though it's a little bit difficult now, things are going to change and everything is going to be fine. And this is the idea of Hei Nishanu al Hazaya Matezo Koto Adam Chalash Anishana Mateu. It's like somebody who's relying on, leaning on a staff, that the stick is going to uphold them. And indeed, the stick is unable to uphold them. And it turns into a poisonous snake. You think that because you're a citizen of this country, that all's going to be good? You rely on that? No. That's going to turn into a serpent. No. That's going to come to harm you and not to be for your benefit. And that's the imagery in Source 4 of the Nile. The Nile was the prime real estate, so to speak, in Eretz Yisrael. Kigan Hashem Eretz Yisrael. It was the one that watered the entire Egypt to make it look so beautiful. They don't want to leave this Gan Eden. They don't want to leave this place. And you see this. 4/5 of the Egyptians did not leave Egypt. They wanted to stay there. So this is the dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Mazeh biyadecha. What is in your hand? Vayomer mateh. You can explain it this way. This is the question to Am Yisrael. What is in your hand? What's holding you? And you know what the answer is? The answer is a mateh, a stick. And the stick represents the wandering Jew going from place to place. Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to tell the Jews, it's not just do they believe me, yes or no. This is a much deeper aspect going on here. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying they're not going to believe me because they want to stay here. Right? That's the deeper understanding of no slave ever left Egypt. It's not that no slave ever left Egypt. No slave ever wanted to leave Egypt. In their mind, Egypt was paradise. Why would I want to leave such a place? So Moshe Rabbeinu says they're not going to believe me because they are entrenched in a misnomer understanding, thinking that this is Gan Eden and the difficulty is going to pass. To which Hashem tells them, no, no, no. This is the sign I want them to learn. To rely on the nations is relying on a stick that's going to turn into a snake. And know and tell the people that Golos and the Golos experience can best be described. Mazeh biyadecha, it's highlighting. What is in your hand? It's a mateh. It's as if to tell the people this. That Golos is intrinsically about the walking stick, about the wandering Jew, Vaitahu migoy el goy, umimamlachal amacher. This is going to be the second nature of a Jew. The Be'er Moshe, the Usher of the Rebbe, picks up on this idea in source number 5 that we're talking about here, not just a vision of Klal Yisrael in Egypt, but we're talking about a vision that's a long-range vision of the way the Golos is going to happen. And he picks up on this theme and he says, this is another imagery of the staff turning into a snake. He says, throughout history, we are going to find that there are going to be emperors and rulers who are like a staff, an Eitz Yavesh. They're dry. There's nothing special about them. There's no charisma about them. And suddenly, they turn into the serpent. They turn into the leader that's going to harm the Jews. Ulumatzot berege katan shlach yadcha vechoz beznavo veilumate bekapo. Know as well that as fast as they rose, they're going to decline. And Jewish history, world history is filled with this, where it makes no sense where you go from a staff to a snake back to a staff. And likewise, the second oath. This is Merames Lemala Golos, Kadameit Shechazer Vachai, Kach Yisrael Yashuvu Mina Golos. Klai Yisrael are going to be like dead. Mitzarech Chashuv Kameit, a leper is like dead. And no, in no time, they can turn back their hand regular, and they're alive and well. And that's Jewish history as well. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. There's going to be times that it's going to come out of nowhere. A regime is going to come and overtake the Jews, and out of nowhere, they're going to fall. Klai Yisrael are going to be in a place like the Holocaust, a place like a Mitzorah Chashuv Kameit. And then you're going to have the Hakamat Medinat Yisrael, then you're going to have a resurgence, you're going to have what we have today of people learning and Beis Yaakov and yeshivas and kolim like you've never seen. And you wouldn't even know that there was a tzarat. You wouldn't even know that they were at the brink of total despair of 6 million people dying. The nature of these signs is a foreshadowing, a foretelling of what Jewish history is going to be about. And know that this is the challenge. The challenge is to be able to believe and to be able to hold on when history has so many twists and turns? And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. No, it's bedafka when things don't make sense, when things turn so quickly that it's clear that Hashem is the one. That's a sign that Hashem is the one who is intricately involved in our lives. And he goes on and he explains that this idea of nothing happening before and it's coming out of the blue is by the Tzaraad as well. He puts his hand in source 8 and it turns into Tzaraad. He puts it back and it's normal. Even though there was no natural explanation for this, the fact that Jews are being persecuted throughout the generations is also not natural. And it's going to be unnatural how the Jews are going to be able to return back to their exalted state. All of this is definitely coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yesh b'zeh gam hara'ah ruchanit. This is teaching us both on a physical level and on a spiritual level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be metaher, he's going to purify Klal Yisrael. And this is what we need to know. And this is, I think, very, very comforting for us. In source 9, V'chein hora shedaika kishyagu Yisrael lidyutach tachtona misham yigalu. Noah Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that when Klai Yisrael are on the lowest level, the snake is going to turn back into a staff. The tzarat, the leprosy, is going to turn back to normal. You have to understand that it's going to be at the time when things look at the height of despair, that's the time of Geula. And the Be'er Moshe goes through, and it's very fascinating. He says this dynamic of, we'll take, for example, the staff that turns into a snake, and it's equally true of the hand into Tzaraad, is really what all of the dynamics of Gullus and Geula are about, of what exile and redemption are about. So, for example, he speaks about, well, doing 9 outside. Yaakov Avinu uses Yosef as his favorite child. He is a staff. And the brothers throw him into a pit. Then he turns back. He turns into a snake, into a time of despair, right? Into the pit. And then he's brought out into royalty. He's back to the stick. And it happens back and forth to the extent that Moshe Rabbeinu himself represents this. Paro sees that a child is going to be born and he's going to be thrown into the Nile. He's going to be a redeemer. So he decides to throw him into the Nile. He sees that the child is thrown into the Nile. Moshe Rabbeinu is now a snake. He's in a place of despair. Paro's own daughter takes him out and raises him. He's back to a staff. That dynamics of going from the lowest to the highest, from the lowest to the highest, is what marks what all of Klal Yisrael are about. And that, my friends, is going to be the future redemption. Pitom yavo elecha lo, hadon asher atem mivakshim, pasuk at the end of Malachi, the last parak of Malachi, parak Gimel. It's going to happen suddenly. You know, sometimes we just wonder, like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine Mashiach is going to come. We are in such a state. Like, this is the last place I would expect Mashiach to be. My friends, when you're at the state of a snake, that's when the staff is going to happen. That's the sign. You want to know how to ensure the Klal Yisrael believe in me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu a vision for the future. And that is, there is no predictability with Klal Yisrael. Not with the leaders who are going to oppress us, and not with the outcome of what's going to happen to the Jewish people. Nothing is predictable. Nothing is teva. Nothing is nature. A staff into a serpent or a hand into tzaraad, nothing is a natural order. Everything is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is running the show. And that's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu has to understand. And that's how the Menachem Sion, quoting the Admor Mirudmuntz, Ramintz, in source number 11, Klomar, Mao Koch Shabo Atamit Kaven Lanhig and Am Yisrael Shkuim Mentat Shari Tuma. The question that Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking Moshe Rabbeinu, Maze Biyadecha isn't what's in your hand, obviously he knows what's in his hand, but rather, with what ability are you going to be able to lead Klal Yisrael? Right? The hand being a sign of leadership, to which Moshe responds with a mate. The mate is going to be able, Hatayat Lei Bnei Yisrael Midarkam Hanovza Vachzaratam L'makor Machzvotam. What is it that's going to ensure that we are always on the level of a staff, that our hands are pure from the leprosy? Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's the matzah. It's being able to convince the people, it's being able to impact the people, to turn their hearts to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to turn their hearts playing on Otod as Otiot, the 600,000 letters being in the Torah corresponding to 600,000 souls, to be able to connect the Jewish people to Torah, that is the anchor that allows the Jewish people to survive all of these upheavals, all of these ups and downs. And I think the lesson for our lives is very clear on this first level. The first lesson is to know that we don't understand Jewish history. It's inexplicable. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, and know that it changes around very quickly. This is Ratzon Hashem, and the way to be able to make sure that we at least can try to hold on to the staff as much as we can is to hold on to this idea of what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to do as the leader, to be influenced by the ways of Torah. The more we connect with Ribbono Shel Olam, the more we rely on Ribbono Shel Olam, the more we see that Ribbono Shel Olam, Shiftecha Mishantecha, Heima Yenachamuni, that Hashem is my staff, that I don't look at the staff as Kochi Votzim Yati, look what I've done, look how great I am. I don't look at the staff as something I rely on, what I've accomplished, but rather I look at the staff as being in the hands of Hashem. Then the staff is going to be able to be upright and hold me in this path. The moment that I let go of Hashem, being the one whom I'm leaning on, the staff turns into a snake. And this is the idea Rav Sher speaks about in source number 12, that part of the tshuva that Klal Yisrael do in the times of Hosea is lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maasei yadeinu, we'll no longer say the God that we've made with our hands, but rather, Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom, you Hashem, have mercy on the orphans. We understand that we can't rely on us, we can't rely on our friends and our family, we can't rely that these are the things that are going to get us through life. We have to realize, Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom, that just like a Yosef, just like an orphan has no one to rely on except the Ribbono Shel Olam, we too have no one to rely on except Hashem. This is clearly what the Gemara and Sota says. It's the message of the final generation that we're in. Ein hamid li sha'ein elav yinishma shamayim. We have no one to rely on. And this is part of, we've been speaking about throughout this year, part of what COVID has taught us. There is no one to rely on. I was talking to a friend of mine, Ramat Beit Shemesh, now. It's just like, you know, all my friends are in Bidud, or most of them are in isolation with a kid who is sick. There are over 5,000 cases. I mean, we're talking about astronomical. I was describing to my friend, I said, I feel like it's, you know, ducking, shooting bullets. Like, there's no rhyme or reason why this family and that family, and we don't understand what's going on. It makes no sense to us. So many things don't make sense to us. All we have, we can't rely on medicine, we can't rely on government, we can only rely on one thing. Ein amili shayin, but know the Ribbono Shel Olam, shiftecha mishantecha. Sometimes the staff is a staff of punishment. Sometimes the staff is a staff of retribution, of difficulty, of challenge, not necessarily punishment. Whatever it may be, we know that it's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu who is leading us every step of the way. And this is what the Shaar Bitachon, the Chovos Levavos, in his psicha, in his opening, says. He says, another one of the benefits that Bidachon provides regarding spiritual matters is that when one trusts in Hashem, his practice of relying on Hashem will cause him not to be subservient to anyone else. He will not hope for aid from any man nor await assistance from human beings. And he will not see a need to serve people in order to curry favor with them. Additionally, since he feels secure, he will not flatter people, nor will he acquiesce to them when they act in ways that act at odds with the servants of Hashem. For even if they are powerful, their stature will not intimidate him, and he will not be afraid of confrontation with them, since he knows that Hashem watches over him. Rabbosai, that's the bottom line. The bottom line for all of this is, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vahim lo yaminu li, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klai Yisrael ma'amini b'nei ma'amini. Klai Yisrael are believers. We just have to draw this out of them. We have to make them understand that they can't rely on the outer exile that they're in. They can't rely, and the outer exile is the country they're in, it's the people, it's the economics, it's the medicine, it's all those outer things that people rely on. Curry favor with those in high positions. Moshe Rabbeinu is being taught the way to be able to impact Klal Yisrael is to give them over this message. You can't rely on anything in the external world. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. They're so entrenched in this outer world. Is there any hope? And Hashem says, yes, there is hope. But you have to make clear to them that to rely on anything in the outer world devoid of God, obviously you have to reestablish, you have to do your best, but it's not relying on it. The only thing they can rely on is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The moment you rely on anything and you put that staff into fill in the blank, the political scheme, the medical scheme, the economic, anything you rely on is going to turn into a snake. And it comes out of nowhere. And Vayanas, Moshe Rabbeinu flees from it. It's scary. This is the history of the Jew. You cannot rely and say, we're to be like everyone else, and I'm okay, and everything will be okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and reminds us, there's only one person, one being you can rely on, and that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki b'cha yiruchai miyatom, ein al mili she'ein, there's no one to rely on, but rather of Yerushma Shemayim. Good. The second aspect that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about was not only that Klal Yisrael were entrenched in the outer galus, they're entrenched within themselves in Memtet Sharei Tuma in 49 levels of impurity, that they are unable even to think outside in a spiritual manner. They're unable to extricate themselves from all the filth and all the depravity that they fell into. The Rabelski in Enei Yisrael teaches the Shir Shayom for Thursday. And he says, the Jewish people are referred to as Yehosef. Moshe Rabbeinu announced to Klal Yisrael that the time of redemption arrived, and they would become a free people. Svat lo yadati yeshma, language I could not understand did I hear, but Klal Yisrael could not appreciate the message of chayrus, of freedom. Since people are used to slavery, do not easily relate to such a concept. It's not simply a lifestyle of hard labor. Slaves have a mental dependence on their masters. And again, we're to understand this masters as the outer masters, like the first level, and the masters being their Yetzihara, their evil inclinations. Their subservience is central to their existence. What was this fat, this language of freedom? Hasiroti misevel shechmo, I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hand from the cauldron. You called to me in your distress, and I took you out. I answered, you hid it in thunder and brought you to our Sinai to receive the Torah, etc. What was the concern of Moshe Rabbeinu? What was the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rav Belsky goes on by sharing with us a very fascinating little story. He says in the bottom of this page, source 15, there was once a darshan who told the following story. A hunter was returning from the mountains where he had been chasing wild game, and he came to a farm owned by an elderly and nearsighted farmer. He walked past the barnyard where the chickens were strutting about and saw a curious sight. He called the old farmer over and said, I see you have a very unusual bird there, sir. To which the farmer replied, oh, you mean the bird that's larger than the rest? He's a chicken like all the others, but he came from a very large egg, and has always eaten a great deal. We'll get a lot of meat out of that one when he comes to be slaughtered, next page 16. The farmer bid him goodbye and carried on about his business. The hunter then turned to the unusual bird and said, "Who can ever make you realize that you are not a chicken, but an eagle? You do not belong here, strutting among the backyard pecking, barnyard pecking away at pebbles and grain. You should be flying among the tallest mountains, soaring through the heavens. But the old farmer thinks you're a chicken, so you think yourself to be a chicken, too. If only you could understand what you really are, then you would fly far from this coop and enchant all those who see you with your grace and majesty as you wheel through the firmament." Very often, Jew finds himself trapped in a mentality similar to the eagle in this story. He does not realize who he truly is, and instead takes on the identity and the limited yearnings of the society around him. He spends his time strutting through the barnyard that's a stock exchange or some comparable institution, intermittently pecking around for another and yet another speck of grain, like a simple bird who has nothing else than to fill his stomach. If only a Jew would make that fundamental change in attitude and outlook, he would realize what powerful force exists in his neshama, that he belongs among the angels on high. It is difficult to visualize such things and to bring this change about. If a Jew to be spoken to about his true inner greatness and the lofty spiritual heights that are his heritage, he might very well exclaim, "I cannot relate to it. Svat lo yadati." In his mind, he's simply a chicken. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Vehem lo yaminu li, they will not believe me. He thought the Jewish nation would be completely unable to relate to the message. Hashem did not appear to you, for how in their state could they possibly conceive of any notion of divine revelation? We are Memtet Sharei Tuma. Hashem is going to take us out? We're a chicken. We're not an eagle. What do you mean, Kanfei Nisharim, on the wings of eagles? That's fine if you're an eagle, but I'm a chicken. I can't fly. I'm entrenched in the physicality of the world around me. Kadosh Baruch Hu answered the people would surely believe and give him three signs. Hashem was telling him that there's something deep inside the neshama of every Jew, a spark of godliness. Yet this is often covered up and hidden by the gashmias, the materialism that pervades our surroundings. Yet Hashem has given us the choice to rise above the gashmias. This was the message that Moshe Rabbeinu was being taught. The message to Klal Yisrael, and again, as we spoke about, it's a message to us, is Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to teach the people, you are not a chicken, you're an eagle. You are not just a regular human being, you're a medaber, you're a Yehudi, it's a higher level. It's a level of being, the Kuzari says, the fifth level is Yehudi, is a Jew. You're a higher and above everyone else. And therefore, you have to look at yourself and look at the physical world from a different perspective. Let's try to explain what this means. So, Siva Shalom looks at in source number 18, the Sne itself, as what's the fire? It's being boer ba'ka'esh. It's being consumed in fire. That's the kochot atuma. That's the forces of impurity that hold on to them. The Eish is the Eish of Taiva. The fire is the fire of desire that they're holding on to at all costs. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. He says, how is it that Klal Yisrael are going to survive and have survived when that Taiva, that desire, is consuming them? They're on the 49th level of impurity. To which Moshe Rabbeinu responds, the secret is, Shal na lecha ma'arog lecha. Take off your shoes. Ki ha'makom asher atah omed alav admas kodeshu. Because the land you're standing on is holy, which means that the Jewish people are intrinsically kodesh kedoshim. Ki chelek Hashem amo, we are part of godliness, kivyochol. Chelek elokam imal. And that enables them that even when they are in the deepest of impurity and in the deepest of physical desires, they have the ability to extricate themselves to the highest of levels. And that, my friends, is really the message of the first two of the signs. What were the signs about? So he says, this double squiggly, Inyan makel umateh shem devar vehipucho. A makel is a staff, which is a sign of destruction. And a mateh is a stick, synonymous words, which is about building. Moshe Rabbeinu is being asked, what is in your hand? Is it a makel or is it a mateh? Which is it a staff of retribution or a staff of building? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's a mateh, it's a staff of building. Hashem says, throw that staff of building to the ground. And know that this staff can turn into a nachash, which is going to have no benefit. Shafilu mateh achad kadosh b'kdushal yonav ashayat kulam l'olam ha-binyan. You can take a staff, which was part of the olam ha-binyan, of building, and you can turn it into artzios, into a nachash. A nachash slithers on the ground. That Jewish people who are the state of building, of chelek elokam imam, they can easily turn into a nachash in the depth of the dust, in the physicality par excellence. However, you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu? You just grab hold of the tail, and immediately they're going to return back to a staff. Klal Yisrael have this ability. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. They can fall numerous times and get up. Moshe Rabbeinu is learning the secret and teaching it to Klal Yisrael and teaching it to each and every one of us. We all fall. That's part of human nature. Oy vavoy if we look at ourselves in the fallen state. Oy vavoy if we look at ourselves as a chicken. We are an eagle who has landed up in the chicken coop. Know, however, that we can just shake off all that dust of the chicken coop and fly. Know that that staff, which looks like a snake, can turn back into a staff. One who has godliness in them. One who has greatness in them. If you are able to believe in them. If you're able to invest in them. Understanding and greatness. Like that. They turn back into this aspect of greatness. Mechivan shesharasho hu tov yachol lachzor shuv l'sharasho. Because their root is good, they're able, like that, to be able to turn back into this aspect of greatness. Know that this is easy to do. And this is Moshe Rabbeinu's job. Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to teach the people in 20, Ubepnimiyat shebepnimiyas hanefesh nishar yudi davuk b'Hashem lo'olam. Keep in mind, when I ask you what's in your hand, it is a mateh. And if it turns into a nachash, it's only temporary. You know, I was reading a maaseh recently that there was a family that moved to an out-of-town community. And they had a son who was bouncing from yeshiva to yeshiva and wasn't too much shliach, wasn't so successful. So the principal of one of the yeshivas in this out-of-town community the family moved to heard about this. And he called up the family in a very genuine way. And he said, I heard you have a son that's a diamond. I know you have many choices in yeshiva in this town. I'm asking you to please send us your son so that, you know, we can benefit from his specialness. And believing in that child, the child turned into a staff. If you really hold that there is a staff here, you will find that there is a staff here. And likewise, the same thing holds true with a tzarat. A hand can be mitzora kashelet bechina mita, mitzora chashuv kameit. And you know what? You can return back to your shorash. You can be tchiyas sameitim. You can return immediately back. That's what it's about. This is the message that Moshe Rabbeinu was being taught. This is the message that Klal Yisrael being taught. Klal Yisrael will say, I'm a Memtet Shari Tuma, how am I getting out of here? These are the signs that you're going to get out of here. The sign is, anything can change. The sign is, you have to believe in it. And the sign is that the water that turns into a plague doesn't turn back into water. That the Egyptian culture and everything that represents is totally going to be destroyed. How do we do this? How do we ensure that we're able to move from one process to another? What's the dynamics of going from that staff to the snake. We know that dynamic. How do we go back from the snake to the staff? So Sefer Imrei Chemed offers a very beautiful idea. He describes in 22 the idea of the Nachash being the primordial serpent, the source of sin. And he says, V'zeh haremesh shebah od harishon liyol la'odom lofek l'bnei Yisrael, ha'nachash hua yitara. The Nachash represents evil incarnation. U'kidei shi'achlu b'nei Yisrael itgaber ala nachash shelo yamshich madrigat helech liyob madrigat oreach ve'ish aleim lechoz bo v'lechnio ad she'efach l'mate. The Yitzhar starts as, you know, coming and going, a wanderer, and then he makes himself a little bit more comfortable until he's ruling your house. How do you change this? How do you move from the snake back to the staff? You have to be able to get a grip on the Yitzhar. What does this mean? So he says, Shlach Yadcha, the double spindling 23, Vechoz Bitzvano. Grab your hand, stretch out your hand, and hold on to the tail. Daya filu b'achiza mu'ete. Even if you just hold on to the edge of the tail. Afilu b'zanava nachash, k'dei she'afech ha'kol u'tova, v'yenachash k'dmi l'mate lukim. It doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu held on to the snake. He held on to the tail of the snake. Well, that, my friends, is a credible tale that it's trying to tell us. And that is, all you have to do is make some effort. V'afilu imadam poltea petach katan kechudo shomachat. Even if you make a little bit of an inching forward and you hold on to the tail, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be miyaseyeh biyado. Hashem is going to turn and help you be able to immediately turn into a staff. What Hashem is looking for us, the dynamics that are necessary here, is that desire. It's not just a ratzon. You have to actually hold on. You have to actually do something. It's step one is the desire. Step two is the actual momentum of moving forward in a positive direction. When you do that, you're already making that transformation from the snake to the staff. And he brings here a gewaltic and almost scary idea that the Mori Naim, the Chernobyl Rav, quotes from the Moshe Tov HaKadosh. Pasuk says by Shema, source 24, Hishamru lachem, beware, pen yiftel levavchem, that your hearts don't sway, v'sartem, and you turn, v'avadetem Elohim acherim, that you worship other idols, v'shtachvitem lahem, you bow down to them. Whoa! My heart turns, and suddenly I'm worshiping idols? Aren't there a lot of steps in between? And the answer is really not. Kizel ikar hada'at leida shekol kochotav v'chiyuto meborei baruch hu. We have to understand that all of our kochos, all of our strength, everything we have comes from Hashem. He is takif u'bala yecholot u'bala kochot kulam. He is in charge of everything. And therefore, when a person for even a moment is going to turn away from Hashem, she'ein lo dad zeh shekol ha'kochot shelo abori baruch hu, and for a moment, you believe that, you know what? It was my strength, it was my brilliance, it was my contacts, it was whatever of mine it was. At the moment that you move away from Hashem's role, Hashem's complete, all-pervasive power, at that moment, it's like you're worshiping idols. That small turn is downhill. If that's the case with something negative, so says the Chidushei Arim in 25, this is Mida Tova Meruba. You obviously see in the opposite direction. A pnia ktana, a little turn. Shadam sar mavodot Hashem yitbarach b'shifluto lish'ol tachtid l'itchashev kivod Elohim acherim. If a person is going to leave the evil ways even a little bit, you're already on the path of serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. That snake turns into a staff. And that was that's the message. And you see the same thing by the Tzarad as well. That when he just puts his hand back in, it already turns into Tahor. because you make that little effort, and that's already, it's already enough. Rabosai, this is our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to take a bit of control. It's easy to say, well, what do you want from me? I have so many outside influences, I have so many inside influences, and I was born with anger, and I was born with this desire for this and that, and it just overwhelming. Like, where do I begin in my vote of Hashem? And the answer is, that mentality, you're going to stay as a snake. If you're able to say, you know what, in one area, I'm going to try. I'm going to, once a day, be able to hold myself back from saying something I shouldn't say. And I'm going to build on that once a day. I'm going to stop and say a bracha with more kavana, whatever it is. I'm going to fill in the blank. That is, that little turn is like a 180-degree angle, and you land up back as a staff. And this is really the model of Moshe Rabbeinu. When we're talking about this ability to be able to hold strong, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was about. The highest level, the Neshama 28, is to take the role of master. This is the Malbim, the aspect that should direct and rule over the lower aspect of personality. The lowest level of soul, the level relating to the physical impulses, is symbolized by the lowly snake that hugs the dirt in pursuit of physical satisfaction. Nali and Moshe mastered all of his physical drives. Symbolically, Moshe had grasped the snake in his hand. He had taken full control of his physical snake-like aspect. And Moshe Rabbeinu was being told, you let go of this for a minute, it's going to turn into a snake. Grab hold, and it's back to being a stick. Our job is not to let go. Our job is to be on constant awareness and being able to constantly recognize that we have to hold on at all costs. And likewise, stretch out his hand and control his physical aspect, lifting it from the dirt and directing toward heavenly pursuits. As well as putting one's hand into one's bosom is laziness and inaction, which is tantamount to death. Moshe must not waste a moment in carrying out his crucial role in God's plan. So my friends, let's try to bring this down into our lives in three areas. Idea number one is clearly we have to be on alert. This is our challenge. Our challenge, as Rabelsky says in Enei Yisrael, verse 34, our spiritual situation today is in no way comparable to that of generations ascended to the 49th level in purity. We are saying not yet received the Torah, we have our tradition. However, we still remain under the constant threat posed by the influence of our environment. We are all affected to some extent by the glory and glitter of society in which we have found ourselves throughout our long gullus. And though there is much that is wonderful in our modern society, we sometimes fail to identify those elements of the surrounding lifestyle that are poisonous and destructive. We must therefore stand on guard of this tumma that's trying to rob us of our spirituality. Idea number one, practically for our lives, is to ask ourselves, have and in what way have I been influenced by the society around me? In what way am I part of that snake, that level of tumma that has a grasp on me? And I have to be able to acknowledge it, to be aware of it, and to be able to take control and hold on to that snake and turn it back into a staff. And we know, this is step by step 35, human beings are like sponges. They absorb ideals and morals from the environment. The Rambam tells us we're vulnerable to the insidious infiltration of society's values. Like secondhand smoke, the actions and opinions of others affect us, whether we like it or not, and whether we even realize it or not. So it gives as an example in 36, for example, in the bracket, someone born and raised in a town where manners and civility are swallowed up in the rat race of everyday life will find it more of a challenge to blossom as the Baal Musar whose words and actions bespeak care, compassion, and concern for every human being. While no one is overtly trying to get him to change his views, the onslaught of negative hashpa, like secondhand smoke, will inevitably work its damage. Or someone davened in the shul where everyone just talks. You lose your sensitivity. You become desensitized. You don't think it's such a big deal to talk. Indeed, so many of our attitudes and standards come from what they are doing, saying, doing, or wearing. They're all talking that way. They're all wearing this style. They're all purchasing such and such. There is a powerful societal force at work influencing us to be like everyone else. And we have to be able to be honest with ourselves. Why am I buying this? Is it motivated by kinna? Is it a justifiable consumer need? We need to prepare to be leaders rather than followers. We need to be secure enough in our values and our standards so we don't feel like the need to compromise those standards, no matter what they would like us to believe. In short, we probably don't realize to what extent our attitudes and our standards are shaped by what everyone else is doing. Idea number one is a practical lesson, and this is very individual. Am I an eagle or am I a chicken? Am I an eagle among chickens? Am I an eagle that flies and soars? Am I able to say, that's fine, everyone's dressing this way and everyone's acting this way, but I can soar to a level that's higher than this. I can be different. I'm able to have the self-control. And whatever area it is, you're working in an office where everyone uses foul language and inappropriate language, so you say, like, what am I supposed to do? Or you can say, you can ask them nicely, please, if you could be careful, I'm very sensitive to this. And walk away and take control and be an eagle and soar. This is the message. You want to know what will be the schus that will be able to get out of gullus? My friends, all of us are in our inner gullus. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, how can the Jews ever leave their inner gullus? And Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, this is how they can leave it. They just have to take a little bit of awareness that they're an eagle, to be able to see the greatness in them, to be able to see the power in them, and for them to be able to soar and turn the snake, grab hold, take an action, be aware, and turn it back into a staff. The second aspect of how we can be successful in doing this is to realize that we can't do without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That if a Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't going to help us, there's no way we can do it. And know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. B'nei Bechor Yisrael, says Siva Shalom 31, he calls us his eldest child. A Kadosh Baruch Hu invests in each and every one of us. To the extent that we believe in all of this, to the extent that we believe that Hashem loves us and cares of us, Bechina Dilud Medalek Migodel Avato Yifarach Shu Sub Miuchad Shel Eit Geula. When you feel Hashem loves you and is invested in you, then he's medalek al ahari, mekapetz al hagvoos. He's jumping, he's leaping over the mountaintops to be able to extricate you. 33, ki aderech lamshich goldel avas Hashem, yaideh amuna baseh, ubekoach amuna haso mamshichi magula. To the extent that you believe that Hashem can and will redeem you, to that extent, you indeed will be redeemed. To that extent, you will feel Hashem's presence. And that's the message that Hashem is saying. Klai Yisrael, Ramini b'nei Manminim, they have Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in them. What you have to be able to do is inspire them to realize this. And when Klai Yisrael feel this close connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, when Klai Yisrael feel that they are close to Hashem, b'nei b'chori Yisrael, then they'll be able to fly. And this is the message, if you go back into the Pesukim, so they shall believe that Hashem, the God of the forefathers, appeared to you, the God of Avram, Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, the God of Yitzchak and Yaakov. Why is this being enumerated here? Because that's the message. They have to believe, we have to believe, that we have that connection that has never been severed from the Schus Avos. And though we attempt in 38 to protect ourselves from much of that filth, some vestige in Israel, that contamination inevitably seeps through our defenses. And the Torah tells us, you have to be able to be on guard. You have to be able to recognize what is Ritzon Hashem. What does Hashem want? And when we're able to bring Hashem into the picture, that Hashem loves me, Hashem cares about me, Hashem is here to protect me, that becomes a protection. I'm connecting the first two ideas, that I'm able to have that wherewithal and that strength Hashem loves me, Hashem believes in me, and I have that ability to grab onto the tail of the snake. The final idea, my friends, and I think this is the most profound of the messages, is the following. What will enable us to be successful? What is the message of the matter? What's the message? Maza biyadecha, the matter. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking Moshe Rabbeinu? What is Moshe Rabbeinu answering? Beautiful idea of Rabbi Twersky, Rabbi Michal Twersky, Sefer Yoram Hayam in Parashas Vayechi. And he says, the human condition of 39, Dinei Ha'isha Yisraeli B'yoto Nivra B'Tzelem Elokim, because, as we just mentioned, we were created in the image of God, We tend to follow in Hashem's mitos. And one of those is, Hashem is the ruler, he's the controller. And everyone wants, liot shalit al olamo, everyone wants to be in charge of their world. Everyone wants to be able to, like, plan. You want everything to happen the way you want to happen. Even though we don't understand the whole world. Like when my daughter married this young man who has a red beard, I said to her, you know what, Ruch, I want you to have grandchildren with red hair. I want to have grandchildren with red hair. I want you to have children with red hair. Like, I'm going to be able to play genetics. Now, a year later, I'm saying, Ruch, just you should be blessed with grandchildren. You know, with children. I should have grandchildren. Who's writing the script here? Who's deciding when, what, how, where, why? It's not in our hands. We would love to write the script. And that idea of trying to write the script is what the Nachash had the ability to get Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, you will be Ve'yitem Kelukim Yodei Tov Hara. You will be in control of good and evil. You will control the world. That's what the Nachash is about. If you think that you're in charge of things, you're going to have a very difficult life. Because everything that happens to you is coming from Hashem. It's not in our control. And if a person, if you want to live your life just the way you understand it or the way you want, you will find that many things happen to you that you do not make any sense, and you're going to be fighting and be against, and you're going to be upset, and you're going to be frustrated, and you're not going to know what to do with yourself, and you're going to live a life of confusion and anger because you're not in control. Having said all this, Omnam in the asterisk, Lufia MS, Avodas Ha'adam Masha Kain Biado, what is in our hands? What is in your control is how you respond. And how you deal with whatever happens to you, where's your emuna, where's your bitachon, where's your simcha, that is in your control. And this is the deep aspect of the conversation in 41 between Moshe Rabbeinu and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maza biyadecha. Hey, lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me. Moshe Rabbeinu, what's in your hand? Which means, what is in your control? You think it's in your control whether they're going to believe or they're not. What is in your hand? What part of this whole picture is in your hand? To which Moshe Rabbeinu answers, I get it, Hashem. What's in my hands is a matah. Which means that it's in my hands, ha'inu ma'ashe kol korot chayav v'yadav shal Kadosh Baruch Hu hu'ein, ach ma'ashe yadohu b'chinat matah, the bracket, she'achol la'tod et ha'matzav l'tov. What's in his hand is a matah. You can matah la'tod. You can turn, you can shift every single experience that you have for the good. You can look at opportunities that challenge you as opportunities of growth. You can see them as ways of coming closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu here. Do you know how you get through Golos? Do you know how you're able to have that the Sneh is the Nenu Kal? Do you know how you're able to hold on to that staff? You know how you're able to hold on to relationship through Ribbono Shel Olam? You know how you're successful making that 180-degree turn and not relying on the outer or the inner challenges? The Matah. One word. How do you see a situation? How do you respond to a situation? There is a stirring talk about that 1 minute pause. Your natural reaction is going to lose it, to get angry, to be jealous, fill in the blank, right? The Cheerios go all over the floor. Ah! And then, after that initial reaction, there's the 1 minute pause. And that is taking the snake, that whatever action it is. I can't believe they have this. I'm so jealous. The Cheerios, I'm so angry. That's a snake. What is in your hand? The Cheerios are already all over the floor. They already bought this diamond ring, whatever it is. What, the new car, the new kitchen. What's in your hand? To hold on to that snake, to take that very experience and turn it back into a mantra. How? That 1 minute pause. How do you respond? Oh, Kinderlach, we have a new game that we're going to play. We're going to play a counting game. Let's see how many Cheerios are in the Cheerio box. Let's count who can collect the most Cheerios. Shifting. And this is the mushel that he brings that we're all familiar with, of a king who had a precious diamond that got a crack in it. And the king was totally distraught until a jeweler came and was able to make out of that crack the insignia of the king. And now the diamond was even more beautiful than ever before. That is our challenge in life. We don't know. Golos, exile, outer, inner, overcomes us at all different times and parts of our lives. What we all have, Ma'aseh b'yadecha, Hashem is turning to each and every one of us and says, what is in your hand? And there's one answer, the mata. How are you going to flip the situation? What are you going to do with the 1 minute pause? When somebody is able to take that 1 minute pause and hold on to that snake, hold on to that experience which was seemingly a negative experience, you have the ability to make it even more beautiful than before, to turn that diamond into something that is even more precious. It's how we respond. That's the mate, that's the staff in our hands. Our job, my friends, is to recognize that we are eagles and not chickens. Recognize that we aren't an animal that has to follow our animalistic instincts. That we have the ability to rise above that, and indeed to be that mate, that staff, that's the mate Elohim, the staff of godliness, because we are exhibiting this great godly quality of trying to grow in each and every situation in life.